Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at pvclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Thank you, Jesus, for the blood shed for me. Folks, because of the blood, there's good news. There's always been a plan, and it's a plan of good news. Because he's risen, there's been a plan of good news. It wasn't just when he rose the plan was put in place. It was put in place from the foundation of the earth by God himself. And good news is always refreshing, always reviving, filled with great peace. Bad news brings you down. Good news always brings you up, because good news is good news. Now, good news is God's news, because God is our healer, is our good God, is our good Father. He's our God who brings hope, a God who gives us a brighter future. And so regardless of where we're at in life or in time or space, God is there. What I love, folks, is that creation speaks about God. Times and seasons speaks about God. Even episodes and events in our lives can help us declare how God is at work and how God operates. Everything shows us the dimensions that lead us to recognize that God is God. A recent episode opened my own eyes to something powerful that we already know. And that is this: when a legacy is left behind for others, when an inheritance is left, the legacy of someone who's gone, it becomes a testimony of that continuing life story of the departed person. Now, it can be a good one or it can be a bad one, but it is a testimony of that life that was lived. And that reminded me of the Easter story and how for decades people have been attempting to eradicate Jesus's name. They don't try to eradicate any other name, but just the name of Jesus. The story of Jesus is so powerful that society would want it to be out of every sphere, out of school, out of communities, out of workplace, out of church even, because the story of Jesus is so pivotal and so powerful. It is such good news that the devil despises it. I hope you know the devil doesn't like good news. I just hope you at least got that one on your record. The devil, he agitates and instigates and creates chaos because he loves to see everything in turmoil. But our God puts everything in order because he's a God of good news. Hallelujah. And although each year many new attempts are made, and we can go through the history and read the many attempts made, the interventions to try and stop and stifle Jesus' story, the Savior who died and who went to the grave and who rose again and who lives forevermore. So much has been attempted to eradicate, to suppress, to silence Jesus' story. Oh, but I'll tell you, when a divine Jesus came to earth in humanity and then went down to the grave in death and then rose, even though they sealed a tomb, nobody can touch that story, because our God is God and there is no other. The legacy he left us is the inheritance of salvation. For what he died for, the plan was that all be saved. The plan is that all be redeemed back to God himself. And that is why no matter what is tried, it can hinder and it can affect, but it can never eradicate. Salvation is here until Jesus comes. So, folks, when Jesus was crucified, his death left us something free and futuristic. I love this, free. Because everybody loved free, free, free. That is why so many got caught with those free cruises. If you just give me your card number. Free. We get caught up on free. But it is free and what? Futuristic. God is not just the God of yesterday. He's the God whose history tells a story, whose present is with us, but who has a perfect plan for a future. And you can be a part of that plan because salvation is yours today. So when Jesus was crucified, the inheritance he left, folks, Here's what one writer said, and I'll tell you about that inheritance. One writer in James chapter 4, verse 17 in the Bible says, "It is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it." It is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. See, Jesus' story is good news. It's an inheritance for all who accept him. So if someone dies and leaves you an inheritance and you receive it, you're glad and you're joyful, and it may change something, sometimes little, sometimes big. It may change something in your life, but that's a fleeting inheritance. However, the inheritance that we get, whether it's small or great, if it's not given by the one who knows it, it becomes sad news. Not only are you impacted, but they can even be charged by the law for not dispensing that which was written as a testament of that person's life and legacy, their will and testament. If it's declared in writing, it has to be honored. So folks, can I just tell you something sweet today? Oh, written in blood is an inheritance that Jesus secured for you. If I don't tell you this, it says, I will sin. You have an inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ, and nobody can take it. It was written in blood. Ah, glory be to God. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Praise the Lord. So when Christ died and he left you the greatest inheritance, no human can take it away, and you can receive it. It is your responsibility to receive it. It is my responsibility to remind you of it, and that's all I'm going to do today. I'm not here to wow you. I'm here to remind you. You have an inheritance that was written in blood. It's a will and testament sealed until he returns. It's good news for your now and good news for your future, and whatsoever you wish to do with it, he has given you that choice. Left up to me, I wouldn't make it a choice, but left up to God, it is a choice. Hallelujah for the Lamb of glory. Can I hear an amen this morning? There's always been a plan, and it's a plan of good news. So let me take you through two stories this morning that ties into this Easter story. Mark chapter 16, verse 9 to 10. After Jesus rose from the dead, early on Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went to the disciples who were grieving and weeping and told them what had happened. What did she go tell them? Good news. Jesus is alive. He left us the gift he promised. He is alive. He's up from the grave. And this story has lived on forever and will continue to live on until Jesus returns. So allow me to tell you this story, give you a glimpse of it from another dimension. This is now Peter, who was one of Jesus' apostles. And in the book of Acts, after Jesus' resurrection, Peter writes this chronicle of what he encountered as God had opened up salvation to the Gentile world. When Jesus came, it was to the Jewish nation. But when Jesus left, it was to all nations under the sun. So that you and I today, no matter where we are from, we know in every nation under the sun today, someone woke up this morning and declared he lives. In fact, 12 hours ago, many churches did this in their country. Here we are actually late because in the Asian world, they're having dinner. Oh, glory to God. But actually, they're getting ready for bed. Oh, glory to God. But he lives there and he lives here now. Hallelujah. So allow me to read this passage, Acts chapter 10, verse 34 to 43. This is Christ's gift to you and to I. Then Peter replied, Acts 10, verse 34. Then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism, verse 38. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Verse 39, and we, I'm just showing you some of the verses. And we, the apostles, were witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem. But they put him to death by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us whom God had chosen in advance for his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Sweet. Verse 42, and he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all, the judge of the living and the dead. He is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. What a powerful name. What a powerful name. So I'm going to ask a question today, and I'm actually going to answer the question. I'm going to ask you the question, but I'm going to answer the question for you because it's so important. And before I do that, let me just ask you this. Who is a Christian? Who is a Christian? And then, what does a Christian mean? What does Christian mean? Not a Christian, but what is Christian? What does the term Christian mean? See, the Bible explains in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So these disciples of Jesus, followers of Christ, they were walking the journey with Jesus from city to city, town to town, region to region, and they were called Christians. The term Christian was instituted not by the church. It was instituted by the secular world, even people of pagan culture and ungodly mindset, to identify the people who were followers of Christ. That's what a Christian means, follower of Christ. It was a term of identification. When you became a follower of Christ, you would then take the name Christian and walk with pride and confidence. You would walk with your head lifted high. You would walk going, I am a follower of Christ. I know who I am. And yes, folks, guess what? In Jesus' day and after Jesus' day, this identification actually could cause some persecution. If you were known as a Christian, it came with persecution for the early Christians, but they considered it a joy to suffer for that great name. 1 Peter 4:16. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Now, folks, there's a lot of people who are Christian. Like, why isn't everything perfect? Like, I'm following God, and like, I'm cut out of angel cloth. I should have nothing wrong. The first Christians, they knew it was the pagan culture that named them followers of Christ. It was an identification. So wherever they went, they would say, see, those are followers of Christ. And they had sometimes abuse, or they were spoken to ill. There were things that happened because Satan hates the followers of Christ. And so, folks, when we bear that name, we have to walk in our own confidence, because our secular and depraved culture today is attempting everything they can to render Christianity a shame-based religion. And they're doing that because of their own idolatry, because of their own very heinous agendas against the Christianity, the very subtle and destructive behavior in society. The devil wants it to continue. And so many are using their dominant and manipulative voices to make it look like being a Christian is a shame-based religion. But I've got news for you today. If walking in joy and peace, if having hope in my heart, if being able to love people that are not lovable, and sometimes they're not lovable, sometimes somebody's there that gets on, well, you know which nerve I'm talking about, you've gotten on it, some of you, on the very last nerve that's left, and I've got to go, but Jesus, you commanded me to love, and you grin your teeth, and underneath you're like, hey, love, please come out, love, please. Holy Ghost, I told you last week, because sometimes the spirit of slap is all over and you hold your hand. You ever wonder why pastors walk with their hands like this? We're holding the spirit of slap right back and asking God to give us the love. Let the love come through. Because you see, I'm not ashamed to be called a Christian. I'm not ashamed to be known as a Christ follower. Because when you're following Christ, you live out the things that make your journey reflect who you are. Praise be to God. It's nothing to be ashamed of. I don't know why the world is trying to make us be ashamed, and young people especially. Oh, it's a shame to call you a Christian. It's not a shame to do anything else. You can have the most hideous behavior. You could strip and walk buck naked and they're like, cute. But you walk with a Bible in your hand and they're like, lock him up. Something is wrong in a culture that we allow evil to dominate. And is evil not a shame? Is evil not a shame? Such wickedness against others, anger, the unstoppable hate crimes, young destroyers of self and the others, greed. Is greed not a shame? Confusion in the young people, even regarding their own personal sexuality, massive suicides and depression due to driving them to suicide, anarchy amidst the legalization of drugs and other substance. Didn't they tell us when they were legalizing it that it was for medicinal purpose? Well, there's a lot of sick people there showing up at their stores. I ought to walk with a placard, go, how sick are you? Because everything now is free. Everything is loosened. A self-serving generation, me first at all costs. And if I say so, then I'm right. And you can't tell me what to do because I'm better. I'm this. I'm a millennial. I'm Gen Z. I'm Gen X, Y, Z. There could be Gen no name, no letter written yet, but it's still subject to the power of Almighty God. Can I tell you, it's not a shame to know who you are in Christ and God. It is freeing to know who you are. The reason we're not living out our Christian life like we should, we've taken on the shame of the world who makes us feel like we're weird. Any of you ever felt weird around people that make you think you're weird? Hello? Anybody out there, have they ever made you feel weird? Well, hello? Get your act together. Who's weird? Us or them? They're weird. You need to turn this thing around and let people know, I ain't weird. Nothing weird about me. I'm actually normal. This is normal. Look, I got me a smile, got me a walk, I love me a Jesus. Now you tell me your story. And I'm going to say, well, I got me some cannabis. And I got, they're going to have to get some. Weird is what the world is living in. Wonderful is what it is to serve the Lord. Young people, anyone who told you that you're weird, let me just talk to the young people. Anybody tell you you're weird, sit there, look at them, laugh, and go, wow, that was brilliant. That was really brilliant. So can you define weird? Well, man, you go to church. Yeah, so tell me, what do you do? Let me just get this right. Oh, so you try and sneak in, get a little cannabis, you get a little high, you eat a little cookie, you make the dog spin out of control, you know, you go on top of some roof and you try to see if you could jump down. Let me get a few more things. Oh, no, you don't do that. You just do a little drink. You smoke until you're going to get, you know, some cancer or something in your lungs, and then you're going to ask everybody to pray for you. Let me just fix this. Let me just see. Talk it through, young people, because I see a lot of young kids picking up again with all the substances, even as they're in high school, and they're making everybody else feel they're weird if they're not a part of it. So am I weird if I don't spend Saturday night with my head in a toilet bowl, the one that your mama told you to clean Saturday morning and you didn't? Who's the weird one here? Come on, somebody. Weird is not the church. Weird is the people out there that don't know the freedom and the joy of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ followers are called to a different lifestyle. Christ followers are called to a different lifestyle, a life of loving God and listening to God, following the word, serving others, valuing your own life and valuing other people's life. When you value your life, you do what God created you to do and to be, and that's what helps you to value other people's lives. The Apostle John was very helpful in clarifying the term Christian. He says, he declares to us, a Christian is someone who lives in the truth. And how do we know what is truth? Jesus Christ. He is what? The way, the truth, and the life. Who is? Jesus. And it means if I'm a follower of Jesus, then I'm going to walk in the way, I'm going to walk in the truth, and I'm going to walk in his life. So a Christian means live in the truth and follow Jesus, who is truth. So when Jesus was on earth, folks, Christian, and even the apostle, Christian was not a label. It was a way of life. We've made it into a label. So I printed a few of those labels for you today. See, there's Christian that you're supposed to live out, not just talk out. So let me put that by my heart. But then there's religious. That's the folks who know the law of the church and make other people hate church. We know you. And then there's doubting believers. You know? The story, I got a story for you today because God loves you. So you're believing God, you're kind of following God, but you're kind of doubting if church is real and religion and it's the confusion of all of these. You know, then you got churchgoers. You know, those are labels, you know, churchgoer. Some of you know who that is. You know, you came, what, once every 3 weeks, 4 weeks? Tell me what the ratio is. Sometimes it's hard. I do the graph and it's like, oh, yeah, they'll be in, no, give me another 2 weeks. So forgive me. Christian was not a label. It's not a label you put on for people to see. Today when I was doing this, someone, you know what I'm always shocked at? People think that they could stump me. You know, you don't get to stump me. My staff know that. So somebody just wanting to have a moment yelled up, put one on your mouth. And I went, yeah. I said, you know what, I could do it because that's what most people do. They use their mouth to talk Christian, but not their life to live it. Ooh, and I said, ooh, that preaches. I can preach that now. Don't just use your mouth to talk about Jesus, but let your life. I said your life. Somebody say, you know what I'm saying. They almost got me to preach a preach. But Christian is not a badge. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of life. It's describing people who followed Jesus. The Apostle Paul was a former Pharisee, and he killed Christians, and he did not believe in it until he encountered Christ, who was risen and now moving amongst people. And this devoted Pharisee, when he fell on his knees and worshiped the living Savior, he then picked up and became a Christian himself. What is a Christian? A Christ follower. And he went from killing to now beginning to tell the word, to share the gospel everywhere. And Paul the apostle, he began to testify even to the king of his nation, because it wasn't about the denomination, it wasn't about anything else, it wasn't about the law of the church, it was about relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and just living out what his word says. People can tell you to do this, that, skip a doodle, dance a doodle, shout a doodle, roll a doodle, but I'll tell you, nothing makes the difference than when we determine I'm gonna follow this, and everything begins to line up in divine and creative order. Can I hear a hallelujah this morning? I know on Easter Sunday we have a lot of visitors, and if you're wondering, oh, I don't know how to come to church because I don't know what to wear, just don't come naked. Anything else is okay. All right, that's it. We have one rule: no Garden of Eden, and you're good. Folks, it's not about the rules that we grew up in. It is about the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus has power to save us from our sins. So what do we do? What does a Christian mean? A Christian is a Christ follower who walks with Christ and follows his word. When you choose to walk with Christ, his word should burn in your heart, because walking with Christ is living this out, and this is what makes the difference. So allow me to tell you a story of two followers who were more on this side. They were doubting believers. But God shows up even to you in your doubt. And this is what this story is going to tell you. Here's a story of two people, but the part I don't want you to lose is that they miss their moment. Don't miss your moment today. They miss their moment. Here's the story. Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 15. Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 15. Am I just preaching good, or am I the only one hot? Anybody hot? Okay. All right. It's not just me, Erwin. Okay. I know. They wonder how God anoints me because I talk everything through. Luke, are you ready for the scripture? Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 15 and 28 to 32. That same day, this is after resurrection, that same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. Listen to this. Jesus suddenly came and began walking with them. Jesus is suddenly there and walking with them. That's a key for you to remember. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus, and at the end of their journey, Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us since it's getting late." So he went home with them, and as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. And they broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were open and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" Let me just talk today about being a Christ follower. What happened with these two folks walking? They were walking. They were Christ followers, but they were doubting in their hearts. And some of you here today, you're walking, but you're doubting. And this is not the time in life to do that. You're here because you believe in God, but you haven't made the decision because you haven't reconciled the doubts that you're struggling with. And so here's what happened. These two men are walking aimlessly, doubting about Jesus. They knew Christ existed. They knew he went to the cross. They knew he died. They knew he went into the grave. They heard he resurrected. But something in them is like, okay, do we still follow Christ? Because I don't understand all that's happening. We will never understand everything. That's where faith works, where we begin to believe God and see how God is at work in our lives. When we choose to walk with Christ, his word should burn in our heart. When we choose, it should burn, because God always has a plan for you, and that plan is that you live, you abide with Christ in the inheritance, you inherit new life, you take it in, and that you walk, journey with Christ through this word. Relationship with Christ is not an instant moment and then over. It's a journey. Every day we're getting better and better. Some of us, every day we're getting better and better. Others come along, every day we're getting better and better. That's the beauty of salvation. He's not expecting you to be instantly perfect. He just wants you to journey with him, and he's on the road with you. So the big question here is, will you accept God's plan for you today? Because time wasted can never be restored. Let me deposit that very loudly today. Time wasted can never be restored. Oh, tomorrow, I'm going to do it tomorrow. No one is guaranteed a tomorrow. Time wasted can never be restored. So these men, they were doubters. And even when Jesus showed up and walked with them, they were still so consumed with their own religious talk and their questioning mind, with their ideology about Christianity, that they missed the greatest moment of their life. The greatest moment of our life is the communion we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a miss. Folks, what a miss. Here's what it says. Let me read it. Luke chapter 24, verse 30 to 32. Are you still with me? As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and he gave it to them. Let's pause there for a moment. Remember, Jesus had communion in the garden just before he went, had communion in the upper room with his disciples. The word would have spread all over that Jesus gathered his disciples and they broke bread. He blessed it and then he went and he was crucified. So they knew what having time with Jesus meant. And it says, when he broke the bread and gave it to them, suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized him. Can I tell you, the bread that we have now is the word of God. And when we open it and our eyes are open to what God is saying, the revelation of who God is comes into us. It says, at that moment he disappeared. And then they realized, they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as we talked with him on the road and he explained the scriptures to us? Folks, doesn't your heart burn when you hear the message being preached and the word being read? Why isn't your heart responding to what is going on? Because God is already with you. His Holy Spirit is already round about you. Don't miss your communion with God. They wasted their time. Why didn't their hearts burn? Folks, when you waste precious moments, you cannot regain it. You just can't regain it. And I tell you something, I'll pause and tell you a story. They wish I won't tell, but I will tell. I told it in the first service, so there's some people hiding. So in February, we have Family Fun Day. How many were at Family Fun Day? I mean, come on, look alive. You were all there. Was it fun? Should we do it again? Well, not from the way you answer. The rest of the church going, that is all like fun. That's a survey. I hear only 40%. How many were at Family Fun Day? How many enjoyed Family Fun Day? All right. So Family Fun Day, we stop the service for 15 minutes. We actually do something different for the online. And we just play an online game called CrowdPur. Any of you have used CrowdPur or one of those games that you play? And we have all these questions. And it ranges from everything to even people getting wrong who won the Super Bowl, because we trick questioned them. We said, who won the Super Bowl? It was a week after Super Bowl. And we said, who won the Super Bowl in 2022? But everybody jumped on it and answered 2023. We knew we'd catch them. So stuff like that we do. And so Family Fun Day, it's a lot of questions that, well, we put it together. My niece helped me and Leah, and we knew all the questions, we knew all the answers, but we also have to time it because it has a time factor for how we roll it out, because there was probably over 300 people that did it. And so we're in our boardroom, and now, you know, I know all the questions, I know all the answers, but I'm also playing it with the staff because we have to time it and see how the questions are answered. So I'm playing it too, but the staff know I know all the answers. And I'm not tech savvy, right? And so I'm there, okay, we hit the button, go. And guess what happens? So we're playing the game, and they'll hit a question, and somebody goes, well, why would we put that question? And they talk to me. And I'm not catching on that they are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, but they're cheaters. Did he hide for this second service? He hid, didn't he? So they talk to me through the game, okay? I won't tell you who. I mean, maybe they play the piano in the back or something, but I won't tell you who. And they talk. And so at the end of it, I came second to last, but I knew all the answers. And I'm like, how did I get second to last? And they're like, because Pastor, it's a time game. You got to hit it right away. So while they answered, and then they're asking me questions so that I don't hit the button. Do you know what they did? Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. They wasted my time. But it's a question today. What's wasting your time? Who's wasting your time? What's distracting? They distracted my time. What's distracting your time? Because time wasted with God shouldn't be. Don't waste precious moments with God. Now is the hour of salvation. And to my friends, the question here, will you allow the word of God to burn deep in your heart? Because when we make the decision to become what God created us to be, Christ followers, that's what a Christian is. It's not a label. It's not what you wear on your lip. It's not how you talk the Bible. It's how you live the word of God. But when you make the decision to become a Christ follower, there are things that you find just powerful in your life. You know what? You don't have to fear. Fear not. Because fear no longer dominates our lives. This world is filled with fear, but fear no longer dominates our lives. But you know what happens instead? Faith grows. Well, faith grows where we never knew it would exist. We never knew faith could grow like that. We didn't grow up and just like, it was instantly faith-filled. Faith grows as we're walking with God, as you see one miracle and another miracle, as you see one blessing and another blessing, faith grows. When you become a Christ follower, you live in the moment of watching faith grows. You can take out your phones and you can snapshot that. Hope comes. Hope comes what? Hope comes and quickens your step and you begin to walk better. Doubt is there going, hey, this is going to work. And you're like, you know what, doubt? I'm going to just hope in the Lord. God is with me. God loves me. Yes, I made some mistakes, but God is still with me. And then what happens? Love begins. Love begins to work in ways you never thought possible. Love, it's not easy to love everybody, but when you're a Christ follower, His word begins to show you how you can love what you didn't know how you could love, because love begins to work and grow on your behalf. Folks, this is what it means to be a Christ follower. It should not be a deterrent to you. It should be something you say, God, I want to begin today. So my question is, what's your choice? Are you going to be a religious Christian, seasonal church observer? Or will you today accept the fact that I need to be a Christ follower? And Christ follower means I'm following Jesus Christ, I'm following His word, and I'm letting His word burn deep in my spirit. Are you going to purpose today to walk in obedience to the word of God, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and love others as He loves you? Are you going to let truth pervade so the dominance of the world does not distract you from who God created you to be? So know this, friends, know this. A true follower of Christ will follow His word. Again, I love cell phones. If you take a picture of this, every so often you could look back at it. A true follower of Christ will follow His word. Not my word, not others' word, not preachers on TV word. His holy word. A true follower of Christ will walk in obedience to His commands. I'm going to obey Christ, not people. Oh, you can't do this, you can't wear this, you can't do this. No, I'm just going to obey Christ. I'm going to express God's love to others. It means I'm going to forgive even the unforgivable, even though it feels like I can't, but God will help me, I will. I'm going to accept the truth and live by it. When I'm accepting the truth, I'm following Christ because Christ is truth. I'm following Christ because Christ is truth. And I'm always going to accept His holy word. Christ's teaching is good enough. It burns inside your spirit. So folks, this is the test today. A Christian will acknowledge and follow Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord throughout their life. Savior from sin, Lord over their future. Savior from sin, Lord over my future. That's what the call is today. Will you allow Him to be Savior? God, my sins are before You. You already know them, but You died to forgive them and give me eternal life. And what? Lord, Lord over my future. God, I'm not perfect. You're not looking for perfection, but You're looking for me to walk is humbly, walk simply, walk justifiably proud and confident of who I am. I'm a Christ follower, to live it out with my life so that everyone knows I'm not serving humans, I'm serving a risen Savior. Is that an amen this morning? Praise You, Jesus. Means you won't fear failure because God is no respecter of persons. Anyone whose heart search for Him, there is no failure in God. It means you will never be alone on this journey because He promised never to leave you nor forsake you. It means you're going to be able to walk in confidence and hope and in faith because of what He's already done for you. It means that it's not just going to be a mere walk, it's going to be a renewed life. And this is how God expressed His love to us. And this is how we ought to express our love back to Him. Bow your heads with me. Oh God, Father, Savior, friend, lover, our confidant, our deliverer. God, to follow Christ means that I live out the word of God in my lifestyle, not just with my lips. And so today, God, we begin by confessing you as Lord and Savior. And then you're on the journey with us. And even when others forsake us, you won't forsake us. When others persecute us or try to shame-base us, you, God, give us peace and hope and strength and a future that no man can alter. So God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone today who needs to make that personal decision, that they would not miss the precious moments with you. God, time wasted cannot be regained, and we've wasted so much time living it out our way. But today, God, would you speak and let the word burn in hearts? Live it out God's way, for there is no fear in God. I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca, and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.